Your names?
Anfam.
Joe Osbaker.
You guys were a part of the victims of these FBI raids that swept through the Midwest. And maybe you can describe what you've been through. And maybe you can, why don't we begin there?
Sure. Similar to many other families across the Midwest, on the morning of September 24th, approximately 7 a.m., I can't tell you the exact time, but we heard a doorbell ring at my house. FBI agents came to the door, and my husband answered the door. They told him that they wanted to speak to me, and by the time that my husband came back upstairs to tell me that they wanted to speak to me, they had already let themselves into the house. And when we asked them if they had a warrant, they told them that they did. But of course, by that point, they were already in, and they told us that they had a warrant to search my house for materials relating to support anything relating to material aid in relation to work around Palestine or Colombia, and told us to sit down on the sofa while they searched my house. And literally for hours, I think until 1:30 in the afternoon, they searched through everything in my house. They went through my clothing. They went through, I think, just about every single sheet of paper, including pages and pages through my cookbooks, my knitting patterns. They looked through photographs. They took my computers, my cell phone, my husband's computer and cell phone, which he was not named in the subpoena, but they took that anyways, and he's a graphic designer. That happens to be his livelihood. And it was a really frightening and harrowing experience. And that was our experience.
Before we began the interview, you mentioned that if the point of these FBI raids was to scare the peace movement, job well done.
Yeah, like we said, there haven't been any indictments. They haven't charged any of us with anything yet. And if they're trying to say that we can't believe that the war is wrong, that we can't speak out against our own government, that that we can't say that is this where our tax dollars should go? Should this be what our foreign policy should be? Then they've accomplished that. If they're saying that any of us, you're talking about clerical workers, you're talking about school teachers, you're talking about a cook, you're not talking about people who are wealthy. If you're saying that we've given material aid, I have a really hard time believing that any of us are capable of that. It's been said before that many of us have problems just paying our rent or our mortgage. But if you're saying that some of us have dangerous ideas, I guess maybe we do. And I have some real concerns about that.
Joe, these were coordinated raids on peace activists. This really hasn't gotten enough attention. What is going on with the FBI and the other agencies, and why are they looking at you? What is it that you're doing that so much government attention and resources are being devoted to you?
Well, first of all, I am a politically active person. What I'm mostly involved in is my union. I'm a clerical worker at the University of Illinois at Chicago, where I've been working there for 20 years. I'm the chief steward and an executive board member of the Service Employees International Union Local 73. And, in fact, when my house was raided on September 24th, my union was in the midst of critical negotiations for 3,000 workers who had already voted to strike if we couldn't get a decent contract. And it was, I have been active as an anti-war. I've been involved in the anti-war movement. But really, the last thing that I did was in the summer of 2008. I helped organize buses from Chicago to go to the protests at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. And we didn't realize it at the moment that the FBI came into our house, but once we were able to piece together who else had been raided. And once, you know, it took a few more days for all the subpoenas to be delivered, it became clear that the 14 people subpoenaed, the only thing that we all had in common was that we had all been part of the protests at the RNC. The legal permitted protest at the RNC on Labor Day in St. Paul. The charges that they brought against us were providing material support for foreign terrorist organizations. But it seems to be that now, you know, in the 50s, under McCarthyism, the charge, the boogeyman charge was communist. And now they've replaced that with terrorist. And that's, you know, that's what the warrants and subpoenas said. And as An said, it's ridiculous. None of us have ever given a dime to any foreign organization of any kind.
It begs the question, are there any internal controls at the FBI? If the thing that folks had in common was they attended protested the Republican National Convention, and here you have what seem like trumped up charges. What are the internal controls that exist at the FBI?
Okay, just to clarify, there are no charges. No one has been accused of anything. None of the 14. And really, that's a starting point to understand the abuse that the FBI is guilty of. Under the Bush administration, under the War on Terror, all the limits that had been placed on the FBI, you know, previously have been eliminated. The FBI is now free to infiltrate peace organizations, to spy, and apparently now to raid homes. And this was actually the timing of this, of these raids was very interesting. 4 days before they raided us, the Justice Department has someone called an Inspector General, and the Inspector General issued a report about the FBI's activities spying on the peace movement from 2004 to 2006, which was very critical of just the kind of things that I was just mentioning. Spying on peace groups like a pacifist organization in Philadelphia, sending informers to meetings to gather information, and the FBI, had just been exposed about this, and then they, obviously, that behavior hasn't ended. It's gotten worse.
You're on Democracy Now! Recently, and when the knock came, as you recalled on Democracy Now!, you said, honey, here are the thought police, if I'm remembering your line correctly.
You know, they showed, it was 7 o'clock in the morning, my wife and I were getting ready for work. I went downstairs, there were half a dozen or eight men and women standing on our front porch. I opened the door, the first guy showed me the warrant and showed me his FBI badge and said, I've got a warrant to search your home. He handed me the warrant, and I scanned through it, and I saw, all these, statements that they were looking for material related to support for foreign terrorist organizations in the Middle East and Latin America. And, all Stephanie and my wife, Stephanie Weiner, and I were both subpoenaed. All we have ever done has been to be involved in the movements against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we've gone further, and we've taken a stand against the U.S. government's military aid to the brutal regime in Colombia, and we've taken a stand against our military aid to the government of Israel in its occupation of Palestinian land. And when I saw that, I turned to Stephanie, and all that I could think of was, we're being targeted because of our ideas, because of our refusal to go along with those wars.
And On, even though no charges have been brought, that doesn't mean that the consequences for you might not be severe. Can you explain how the grand jury subpoenas are being used possibly as a weapon.
Sure. Well, as I was explaining to you earlier, the grand jury is definitely not over. The grand juries are exist over a period of 18 months. This grand jury, as I'm aware, my subpoena started on August of 2009, which meant that this grand jury has met for over a year before our subpoenas and our searches actually existed. So I don't know what they've been talking about, what they've been seeing before they even came to our house. But after the subpoenas were issued, there were three different grand jury dates for all 14 of us. And all 14 of us actually pleaded the fifth and did not choose to appear in front of the grand jury. And they withdrew the subpoenas, but we knew that that wasn't going to be the end of it. And actually, after that, the FBI continued to visit, as they say, more people than the original 14. They visited people in their workplace. They visited other people who've hosted events, that sort of thing. And very recently, I have been told that my subpoena in particular and two other women are getting their subpoenas re-upped, or I don't know the legal term of it, but that means that we are going to be receiving new grand jury dates. I don't know exactly what that is yet, or what that is going to mean for us, but it means that most likely for not just myself and these two women, but probably for more of us, we're going to be seeing more of these subpoenas coming up again. So we're going to be needing more support to try and put an end to this, because you know, the time is running out for this grand jury, and I know that they're going to want to get something out of this.
What happens if you don't speak, you take the Fifth Amendment before the grand jury?
Well, I don't know if they're going to let us not speak again. I don't think this is going to be one of those nice little revolving doors that they're going to let us keep doing. I think that at this point, one option that they might give us is the offer of an immunity clause, which means that that technically anything I say cannot be used against me, but theoretically, if somebody else says something that contradicts me, I think it could be used against me. But also, if I choose not to speak, that means that I could be held in contempt, and I would be jailed immediately for not speaking. And that's a very difficult moral dilemma for me to face at this point.
It's not just the FBI. Who else? This is a coordinated effort amongst government agencies. Who else showed up at your house?
I know that for my house in particular, I had not just the FBI, but there was Homeland Security. And then we had a Minneapolis police officer who was doing security at the door. He was the bouncer, I guess, at my front door. And I know that there were other agencies that were involved in other Minneapolis homes. I believe I believe there was an ICE agent involved, immigration agent, as well as the Department of Indian Affairs. I was told at one of the other Minneapolis homes. So there are many agencies that were involved in this process.
Joe, why did you make the trip to Washington, D.C.? You've been meeting with some legislators. What has their response been?
We came today because we learned recently that, as An said, three of the people previously subpoenaed were going to have their subpoenas reactivated. And our fear is that, as she described, if they impose immunity, they could, if those people still refuse to testify, to name names, not just name names of the people involved here in the U.S., but also many of the people that have been subpoenaed have done support work for, as I said before, you know, the people in Colombia and the Palestinians. They want to know who we've met with when people have gone to those countries. So naming names in that context, you know, could actually cost people their lives. So if those three refuse to do that, they can be hit with contempt of court charges and imprisoned. In short, in a very brief amount of time, the first three people could be sitting in prison. So when this happened, we realized we had to come to our representatives and plead with them to take our stand. many of the Congress people we've met with today have said to us, they know we've done nothing wrong. They know it. And we're asking them to say that in a public way. What we're particularly asking for is a Dear Colleague letter for, so that many legislators, we have supporters all over the country who are asking us, what can they do to help us? And they want their Congress people to take action. So we're asking any congressperson to step forward and initiate a Dear Colleague letter that opposes these raids, that condemns the grand jury, and then we can take that Dear Colleague letter and organize. I mean, we have received support from organizations representing hundreds of thousands of people. You know, the United Church of Christ, the American Friends Service Committee, the Fellowship of Reconciliation, my own union, SEIU Local 73, which has 25,000 members. Our executive board has, adopted a resolution opposing the raids and the grand jury. ANZ Union.
My council, ASME Council 5, which represents 45,000 union members, the Green Party USA, the list goes on, Angela Davis today just signed a statement in support of us. Pete Seeger just signed a statement today in support of us. We even have statements from international organizations as well. This information is getting out. I've gotten articles from places as far as Uruguay. I've gotten news articles from Belgium. People around the world have also been hearing about this. This is not painting our government in a very good light, and people are aware of this. And we are... we're asking our senators and our representatives to please take a stand on this. We're concerned that the message that is getting out to them is that, that we are bad people, and we're just here to try and show them that we're just regular people. We are people who have been based in our communities for years and years, many of us at least a decade, if not more. Most of us are union members. Many of us have done anti-war work, although most of us are not just that. I've been doing immigrant rights work for the last couple of years. And we need the support of the people in this country, as well as the people here in Congress, to try and put a stop to this, because myself and other people are facing, potential jail time if this is not halted.
And that's striking that you said, as you're speaking with congresspeople, we don't think you did anything. So then it follows there that they would speak up. Is there a fear of speaking up against the FBI and calling things out if they don't say you did anything wrong?
It really is a statement about how out of control the FBI is. That the FBI is, as An said, they're criminalizing us. They're in fact convicting us. Even though we met also today with someone from the ACLU, who's reviewed all of the subpoenas and warrants, and his observation was that they weren't looking for weapons, they weren't looking for anything that a terrorist would have in their house, they were looking for phone books, notes from meetings, they were looking for contact lists of activists. They were looking for things that activists have in their homes. And that's what they took from my home. They took several boxes of things that they had found going through every piece of paper in my house. They also went through my CD collection. They also went through, I have two teenage sons. There were three agents in each of my son's bedrooms with blue plastic gloves on, going through my son's t-shirt collections. My oldest son is a poet, and he has journals of poetry from high school. They went page by page through his journals. There were 25 agents in my house for 12 hours. They looked at every bank statement, everything my wife and I have ever done. They also confiscated, they didn't take our computers, but they copied our hard drives. They copied the hard drive of my son's laptop. And they took our cell phones, they took our passports. You know, they're treating us like criminals, when in fact, there's no charges, and all the lawyers and all the congresspeople that we've talked to have said that the FBI has precious little evidence, perhaps no evidence at all.
There was a time when the FBI was out of control, and we read about COINTELPRO, and then there was the Senate hearings that took place, and some measures were put in place to reel in this agency. Where is the oversight now?
Well, basically, the under the Bush administration, they first weakened and then later eliminated any oversight, any guidelines at all for what the FBI can and can't do. There really is no oversight at all.
It's just striking, and this is a democracy, and that you could be saying this, that there's no process the FBI needs to go through before they can start looking into someone. This is deeply troubling.
Yeah, I think there was a number of times a day when I think I said that same thing, that this is deeply, that I said this was disturbing. And I had a number of Congress people say to me that disturbing is saying it lightly. And I'm an immigrant here from Vietnam, and my family brought me here as an infant. I was 9 months old when I came here, and citizen now. and they brought me here in the hopes that I would be able to have some more freedom, surprisingly enough, and be able to have more freedom of speech than they thought that I would be able to have in Vietnam. And when they found out about this, they were surprised and shocked. And they didn't think that this could happen to us, to me, in this country that they brought me to, where they thought this was going to be the best democracy in the world, that we would be able to have more freedom than even in Europe. And this happened here, in so-called the largest democracy in the world.
You mentioned that the report came out just a few days before the raids, a report where it looked at the 2004 to 2006 FBI investigations of anti-war groups, peace groups. And there was, again, before we started the interview, you mentioned a situation where Senator Patrick Leahy from Vermont asked for information that the FBI said, well, we're looking into the Thomas Merton group because of there's someone who did something criminal. And Leahy asked, can you recount that situation?
All right. Well, I'm not an expert. I haven't actually read the IG report. I believe you've read the IG report. Do you remember this?
The details? This a while ago. The IG report is a number of pages long, and I've read this very early on in September, and my mind is like a sieve lately. a little bit of stress does that to you. But I believe if you look at the AG report, and you really shouldn't quote me on this, but I think it basically says that that Leahy was lied to, more or less. And again, you shouldn't quote me on this.
But that's what the ACLU, that's what the guy from the ACLU said. Mike German, he said that when Leahy challenged what was clearly a peace organization being investigated, the FBI said, "Well, there's a crime that's at the root of our investigation," and Leahy said, "Oh, well then, give me the information about that," and then. According to the IG report, they invented a story about a criminal investigation. And then Leahy said, well, I want to see the files on the criminal investigation. And then the Inspector General concluded in his investigation that it was made up. There was no criminal investigation. And that came to Lay's attention just when that report came out on September 20th. So, you know, we think that clearly the Inspector General needs to go back to work. The 2004-2006 report has already been shown to be inadequate, and the raids, the coordinated raids on us, you know, and these allegations, which are based on no factual evidence, and this criminalization of dedicated anti-war activists, I mean, it demonstrates clearly that the FBI is out of control.
And ratcheting it up. I mean, I can't remember coordinated raids, different agencies, different parts of the country taking place like this.
This is the first time I remember in my my history for something of this scope. I mean, there are raids in two different states, subpoenas in three states, and in visits that happened in three others. And the span from literally from the West Coast to the East Coast. There were visits that happened from California through to North Carolina, and raids and, you know, and subpoenas that were issued all over the Midwest.
Well, this could have a chilling effect. You also mentioned the support has been pouring in from around the world.
Yeah. And around the country.
And that's quite interesting. Can you talk about that? I mean, going forward, it certainly has to be chilling to have 25 agents going through your children's stuff and uprooting your house. But going forward, do you think this will have an impact on your activism, and how have you been affected?
When I'm with friends, and when I'm at a demonstration, or we've had a lot of solidarity meetings and rallies in our support in Chicago. When my wife and I and Hatem Abudeya, the third person from Chicago whose home was raided and was subpoenaed, you know, when we're out with allies and friends, you know, when the sun is shining, I feel great. You know, I feel like all of these people are saying the truth about us, that we are people who've dedicated years of our lives to helping other people. And then I go home and lie in bed at night and think of the fact that my bedroom was searched by 5 agents for several hours. And I think of the fact that the computers that we have in our house were, the hard drives were copied and then put back into the computers. You know, what did they leave in those computers with those hard drives that they copied?
At least they left your computers.
I don't feel better about it, Han. It doesn't make me feel better.
Okay, fine.
I don't want to touch my own computer. Yeah. It's deeply disturbing. It's frightening.
But as you said, the outpouring of support from all over has been humbling, from both the from all walks of life. I mean, from the religious community to the labor community and the anti-war movement and others. The week after the raids, I don't know if we've mentioned this yet, but there were demonstrations and actions in over 60 different cities. And we've so far gotten statements and support from over 160 different organizations, and the statements keep on coming, and we're still accepting more. Just everywhere I go, I get more statements from, not just from political people, but from any time I talk about this with anybody, even people who are not political. And the minute I just kind of tell a little bit of my story, because I feel like I can't be quiet about this. I have to tell people, this is what happened. You know, this is why I may be a little distracted sometimes. People are just so supportive. And it's just humbling, the type of just, you know, what can I do? Is there anything I can do for you? To just people who I've never met before, who are writing letters to us, somebody who sent us a donation check, who said, I haven't worked in over a year, and this is going to be my very first paycheck. Can you please not cash this until Friday because I haven't actually gotten paid yet, but here's a $100 check, and you're my heroes, and please, this is, you're doing this for me as well. And those sorts of statements, those sorts of things mean so much to us. It helps keep me going, as Joe said, when I'm up at night and I'm thinking too much. And because people have told us over and over that that we speak not just for ourselves, but we speak for a larger group of people. And that is what I've always felt when I've been out there protesting, because many people have said, I can't stand out there in the cold, or I can't stand out there in the Minnesota heat. And as surprising as that is, Minnesota does get very hot. But if I felt like I was doing this just for myself, I wouldn't be just doing this. But I do feel like we represent more than ourselves, and that's why we're here.
I know there were actions, you talked about actions all over the country, and there was actions here as well, which is not all that surprising in light of the fact that not too long ago, it was Maryland anti-death penalty groups and peace groups who were spied on. I believe that was the FBI as well, in a major investigation into that, and here we are talking, I think, just a few blocks from the FBI building. Any final thoughts either of you want to share?
First, you can keep up to date on all of the developments in our case and read all the support statements at our website, which is www.stopfbi.net. Second, we really urge everyone to call your representatives and tell them, sign or help initiate a Dear Colleague letter to the administration, and tell them to condemn these raids and condemn the grand jury. And finally, if they go forward with this grand jury, this is not going to cost us thousands or even tens of thousands of dollars. This could cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars. We are going to need a lot of support. So please, there's a PayPal on the website. Any size of contribution, you know, is helpful. It's not just for us. This is the opening shot of a much more serious repression of the anti-war and social justice movements.
You're looking for one congressperson to at least get it going, and then others can sign on. Did you get any nibbles today? Do you have any good feeling that someone will step up and start this Dear Colleague letter?
We don't yet have someone who's willing to stand up and speak truth to power. The FBI, the national security state is very intimidating, and all we can do is continue to go back to our legislators, the people who are supposed to represent us, and say, you know the truth. There are so many people. I'm from Chicago. Bobby Rush, who's one of our legislators, was a former Black Panther. The FBI and the Chicago Police Department killed the leaders of the Black Panther Party in Chicago in 1969. They got the information to help them with that assassination through a grand jury. Some of these legislators know how evil this system is. We need them to stand up for us.
That was Fred Hampton, was it?
Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were assassinated on December 4th, 1969.
Your final thoughts on?
Definitely listen to what Joe says. But the other thing is for everybody out there who is doing work in your communities, whether it's anti-war, trade union work, immigrant rights work, other work like that, we need you to keep doing that as well, because we need people to not be afraid. Everybody who's working to improve this country that we're living in and to improve the world, we need you to keep doing that, because that's what we need to not stop doing. Because we're not stopping.
I guess I did one last final thought, which is, apart from being activists, you must be pretty special activists to be a part of this collection of folks who were rounded up and got targeted by the FBI.
I would just like to point out that we didn't volunteer for this.
You know, actually, I was thinking about that one day. Well, I have a lot of time to think lately because I have insomnia because of all of this. And I remember growing up, wanting to have that hero to look up to, and reading all these different biographies and wanting, when am I going to have like that Yuri Kochiyama or, or the Martin Luther King or somebody to really look up to. And, or the Rosa Parks. And I think a lot of it was a lot of these people were people who were put in a particular circumstance. And I don't believe these were people who chose to be put in the situation that they were put in. And I would be very perfectly happy to be a housewife knitting and baking, to be quite honest. I know it sounds very unfeminist or whatever, and I believe in women's equality and women's rights, and it was one of the first issues I worked on. But I have absolutely no interest in being out here, and as Joe said, we didn't choose this. But my parents raised me to believe in serving the people, working to think about what your fellow human being is going through, and to always think about other people. And I hope that's what everybody else should do and is doing, and that's all, and that's it. And I think I'm just doing what I have to do because I think that there are problems in this world and I want to make it better.
I don't know. I remember a TV show when I was a kid called Gunsmoke, and the sheriff said, someone who's never afraid is a fool. Well, I'm not a fool and I'm very afraid. But I think that was the FBI's intention. For us to be afraid and for the movement to be intimidated. And I was, I just echo what An said. We're not going to stop. My wife and I and the other 12 subpoenaed people and everyone else who was raided or visited by the FBI, none of us are backing down. We're not going to give them the satisfaction.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah.